Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the main evening news at 5 o'clock. In this bulletin, Donegal County Council has deferred a decision on the draft Letterkenny Plan and Local Transport Plan, as well as the new draft County Development Plan. A Midlands North West MEP is calling for a strategy to tackle youth gaming addiction. A man has been seriously injured during an attack in Glencolmkill yesterday evening, and the general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital has apologised to all patients affected by a number of data breaches at the hospital. These in full plus more. Oisin Kelly will be live with the latest in sport at 5:15. First in news, Donegal County Council has deferred a decision on publishing the new draft County Development Plan, which will govern the county's development until the year 2030. A series of municipal district workshops will take place over the next number of weeks, with the decision to be taken on the draft plan at the May meeting before it is published. It will then take a number of weeks to amend the environmental reports, with officials hoping to get the plan to public consultation in July. One of the key issues discussed at today's meeting was the residential zone land tax, with a number of members pointing out that some landowners could find themselves being taxed even if they cannot build on that land. Councillor Paul Canning is the chair of the council's planning SPC, and he says despite the disparal, today's meeting was a positive one.
I am happy with the job of work we've done now. We've sent it back. We're going back out to workshops for the local areas because there is people there that are concerned with the zoning issues within the Buncrana and Cairndonagh and Letterkenny town plans. So in fairness to the planners, they are going to come out and they're going to meet us at MD level to discuss all of those local issues that the councillors have concerns about.
Are you confident that those MD meetings will facilitate the reaching of a decision in May and this going out to public consultation by July as outlined by the officials in their proposed timetable?
Yeah, I am confident that the planners and everybody is going to listen to the councillors. The problem we're having at the minute is the zone tax is throwing a curveball at us insofar as people could be taxed by revenue for lands that have been zoned as reserve residential, and it's unfair. And that is a lot of the concerns that the councillors are having at the minute because they are in the plan, but people could be taxed on them. So we want to clarify that and get them removed if they have to be removed.
But the point was made by some of the officials here today that that is not in the gift of the council. That is a decision taken by revenue at national level. And the best you can hope for locally, really, when push comes to shove, is perhaps to get those areas de-zoned for strategic purposes. Is that going to work?
Yeah, I think it will. At the minute, we have sent out the old or the existing zone map of all of those areas, and they have been used as the scope, they call it. If we change this map now, we will have a new map for the scope, and by the time the revenue get their house in order, we'll have the new map there.
Donegal County Council has also deferred a decision on the draft Letterkenny Plan and Local Transport Plan. The deferral was sought by Cathaoirleach of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District, Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly, following a meeting of all Letterkenny members this morning. A decision plan must be taken on May 10th, therefore another workshop will take place on May 4th, with a full council meeting to take place on the morning of the 10th to make a decision. Councillor Kelly says a submission by the Office of the Planning Regulator remains a major issue, particularly in terms of questions over flood risks and development. He says these are serious issues which need to be addressed.
We're just not completely happy with the plan as it sits, and we think, you know, this is a very important plan. We've decided that today that we're going to defer the plan. Now, hopefully then we can all be on the one page and get, I suppose, all our ducks in a row and get it right for the people that we represent.
We know issues have been identified by the Office of the Planning Regulator. There's been a lot of discussion about development in the south of the town and its environs, a lot of talk about flooding and floodplains. This all seems to be feeding into that same discussion, and that discussion has been going on a long, long time. It seems it's not yet resolved.
No, it's definitely not yet resolved, Donal. I mean, the OPR, I mean, the submissions there that they're looking to get out of the plan, and that's something that we're eager to keep in. And there's been deep discussion as well, as you're right, about the south of the Swally. And what's hindering it at the minute is there's no infrastructure there. We haven't got the sewage, and we haven't got the water, public lighting, footpaths, roads. We need a bridge over the Swally. We're all in the same agreement that it's an ideal spot, I suppose, in Letterkenny for development. But it's just the infrastructure's not there. We have, if you like, sites within Letterkenny that are sitting shovel ready. You know, we often talk about, and Councillor Brogan talks about it, the traffic light system. We have the green, you have the infrastructure in place that has previously been granted planning, but yet now the OPR is trying to remove these from the plan. You know, that's something that myself, as Mayor of Letterkenny, that I'm eager that it stays in the plan, especially these sites that has the sewers, the sewage, the lighting, the water, the footpaths, and they're sitting ready to go, because at the end of the day, Dylan, we are sitting in a major housing crisis here, and we have been for years.
A Midlands North West MEP is calling for a strategy to tackle youth gaming addiction. Colin Markey believes a comprehensive strategy on video games needs to be implemented by government to ensure that the gaming industry is regulated and held accountable for any harmful practices. He says loot boxes are a huge concern.
It's something that I'm probably conscious of myself. I have two young children, and I suppose post the pandemic, when people were locked up in their homes, it is something that I suppose has become more of an issue. I think if you talk to Parentline, for instance, they'll tell you that there's a significant rise in calls from parents with concerns in that area.
And indeed, it is something that is becoming more and more popular as the years progress. So something does need to be done urgently before it does escalate even further.
Yeah, I suppose, look, there are various concerns. Like some of the games are designed with an addiction-feeding design, and I suppose also the idea of loot boxes where children are looking, obviously getting onto their parents to pay for extra, let's say, an extra, to get up an extra level or to get an extra tool or whatever it is to play with on the game. And it's things like that that are issues that are of concern. And I suppose it's sometimes easy to install these games, but it can be difficult to uninstall them. And I think there are some of the issues. It should be as easy to uninstall as it is to install a game.
And some of these games, indeed, there is a violent nature to them as well.
Absolutely. I think one of the concerns is, I suppose, for what children are being exposed to. And definitely there's a rating system in terms of with clear information there, but that doesn't stop children logging on to them, I suppose, and it does need parental care as well. And I suppose part of it is to show parents how to approach or what they can do to help to manage their children's use of games. There's all sorts of tools and ways in which people can help to if you like, manage and restrict the level of usage of games and gaming.
A man has been seriously injured during an attack in Glencolm Kill yesterday evening. The man in his 20s was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment following the attack at around 9:30 p.m. Gardaí say investigations are ongoing. The general manager of Letterkenny University Hospital has apologised to all patients affected by a number of data breaches at the hospital. Two incidents at Letterkenny University Hospital are among over 500 data protection breaches recorded by the HSE last year. It's reported that a worker inadvertently discussed a patient's health data with another patient at the hospital in December. Meanwhile, last May, a list with personal and medical information of a patient was found. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Sean Murphy says the hospital is committed to mitigating against data breaches.
Obviously very disappointed, and I apologise to all patients that were affected. We work very hard to highlight the importance of confidentiality and the importance of keeping documentation that identifies patients absolutely secure. It starts with staff on induction and is reiterated through departmental meetings and our quality meetings, etc. I'm not making excuses, but it is difficult. Sometimes where you have patients of the same name and surname, and you'd be surprised at happens quite frequently, and living in the same townland and occasionally even in the same street. Again, we do have a system in place to alert staff that if there's two patients with the same name or very similar names on a ward, to highlight the staff so that they check, because each patient has a unique patient number, they should check that they are speaking with the right patient. Mm. Similarly, we've taken a number of measures over the last number of years, including putting shredding bins that are locked or from lists and patient lists as they're going around, and undertaking treatments and organising tests. But for those documents to be put in those bins to be shredded so that they're not left lying around. The case that you're talking about was found in the hospital in a patient room. It may well have fallen out of somebody's pocket and they didn't notice. I'm not saying that's acceptable, but as I say, we will continue to try and take every measure that we can to ensure the security of patient information.
A member of the Sudanese community in Letterkenny says the humanitarian situation in the country is devastating. 150 citizens have registered with the Department of Foreign Affairs to be evacuated as 12 members of the Defence Forces make their way to the country. Of those, 50 Irish people have been removed with the aid of Spanish and French personnel. Tawiba Ahmed told today's 9 till noon show that the people are living the reality of a horror movie.
The humanitarian situation for all the people is really devastated. No internet sometimes, no water, no electricity, and there is no also supermarkets or anywhere to get their food, their daily life. It is really very, very hard. Plus the terror and the horror. I have a story from my niece. I remember like 2-3 days ago, I was talking to her all the night. She's 9 years old. She was silent for 5 days. And then when she heard the gunfire and the fighter jets and all of that, she was in hysteria. I was trying to calm her down because she's scaring her siblings. That goes on for the whole night until the next day. It is like a horror movie. You know, they just escape from that place to another place, safer place, and then they need to move again. It is unbelievable. It's heartbreaking.
The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres wants an immediate ceasefire.
I call on all council members to exert maximum leverage with the parties to end the violence, restore order, and return to the path of the democratic transition. We must all do everything within our power to pull Sudan back from the edge of the abyss.
The time is now approaching 12 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly after this break. The time is approaching 5:15. We head over to Oisin Kelly for the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with Gaelic Games. For the first time in 13 years, Donegal fell at the first hurdle in the Ulster Championship, losing to Down on Sunday in Uri. Their next game will be on the last weekend of May, which is the first tie of the All-Ireland Series. Donegal will be fourth seeds in their group and will face one of the beaten provincial finalists in that tie. Donegal's home game in the series will be on the first weekend in June against the top seeds in the group, which will be one of the provincial winners. Highland pundit Martin McHugh is very concerned about where Donegal football is heading.
Try to get ready, maybe, you know, from now on. Something possible to see is, you know, regrouping or, you know, getting out of the group. Whether we won the games or not, let's start getting ready for next year, because it's going to be an important year that we stay in Division 2. There's a lot of work to be done, the whole county and everything else. But this was a very disappointing day for me, because we're proud Donegal people and everything else. And we really was a game that would have been as easy. It was easier to win, and we just didn't know. We didn't know how to win it. We didn't have the belief or anything else to win it. It's a very, very disappointing day, and disappointing day for all the supporters and for the players themselves. You know, do they deserve better? Do we deserve to be able to give them better and everything else in the county? Yeah, I mean, we read all the reports during the week, read everything else, all about dark days in Donegal knocking on. We've got to be proud Donegal people. We've got to all sit down together, and we've got to sort this out, and we've got to sort it out quickly. We need to get it all right and get it together. The minute the end of May comes and this report's done by Croke Park, whoever else is there, you need to get that report done, get it out of there, and let's get right people in place, let's get it sorted, and let's move forward, because this is dangerous times, in my opinion, for Donegal football. To me, would we have beaten Sligo today, or teams that got in Division 4? No disrespect them. I don't know. The team spirit and everything else, very hard to see it. I know I'm angry, I'm disappointed and everything else. I am, because, you know, like everybody else, I'm a proud Donegal man, and we need to quickly get all this together, or else I don't know where we're going to end up. If we keep going, we're going to be playing Tailteann Cup football next year.
That's Martin McHugh speaking after the latest defeat for Donegal. There's more from Martin available in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. And there'll be more GAA talk tonight with Brandon Devaney on the DEL debate, where his guests include Donegal legend Kevin Cassidy and Down All-Ireland winning captain DJ Keane. That's after the news at 7 on air and online as well. Now, Kerry are trying to win the Airgrid Munster Under-20 Football Championship for the fifth time in 7 years tonight. Thomas O'Shea's side take on Cork at Parky Keeve, where the throw-in there is at 7:30. To motorsport, Eamon Kelly was on top of the podium at Croatia Rally over the weekend on round 4 of the World Rally Championship. On an emotional weekend for Irish rallying, as the WRC remembered Craig Breen, a Donegal man would take his first victory in the world stage. Kelly and co-driver Conor Mohan took the outright win in the WRC3 Junior category, benefiting from a final day retirement of Laurent Pellier and engine trouble for Tom Rinsonnet. Kelly, who jumped from third to first in one swoop during the final loop, managed his Fiesta through the last stage to win by 30.8 seconds.
Lost for words. It's been a mad week and weekend, and just can't believe it. It's the stuff of dreams for me, and you know, you grew up watching all this going on and never thought I could be part of something like this. So yeah, it's just unbelievable. It's obviously been an emotional week for everyone in Irish as well, so there's no question about who you could dedicate this win to. And there's a man up there in the sky shining down on us today, and yeah, just it's that one's for him.
To football, Waterford are hoping to extend their winning run on the SSE or Trusty First Division to five matches tonight. Keith Long's side make the trip to Markets Fields to face Treaty United. Kick-off in that tie is at 7.45. Locally, Fannage United sealed the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division title on Sunday afternoon. That came about by a 1-0 win over Castlefin Celtic at Trialla. Oisin Langan's first half goal was enough to give the host the title.
Yeah, the only one of the season. I've kind of been joking around there this year. Maybe one will come at some stage, but no better time. And no matter who it's going to be, it's just a big one. And just delighted to get it and help out the team.
So what does this mean to Fannage United?
Listen, everyone is just over the moon. It is a big step, leaving the Senior League. And this makes it all worthwhile. Last year was a step towards the goal that we wanted this year. And we went there and we done it again. But it just makes it worthwhile stepping away from the Senior League. It just, things wasn't going the way for that league, and I don't know what's going to happen this year. But just over the moon. It's great to get back to winning ways for everyone in Fannad.
Coghill Celtic will now turn their focus to chasing a 10th Ulster Senior League title in a row. The Inishowen club suffered defeat on Sunday in the FEA Intermediate Cup final in Sligo, losing on penalties to Rockmount. Even in defeat, manager Gavin Cullen was reflecting on what the club experienced in their cup journey.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. The build-up the last couple of weeks has been amazing. The club has sort of grown in stature to where I believe they should be anyway. And we've proved, you know, on no end that we're a match for anybody in this country at this level, and that's a testament to everything we've been doing, and you know, long may that continue as well.
Coghill will now play Bunnagee United next weekend in a crucial league fixture. Coghill need to win their remaining three games to retain the title, while a Bunnagee one would give the Dry Arch men the title. Finally, in cricket, a knock off 95 from captain Andy Balbirnie has put Ireland in a strong position in the second test with Sri Lanka. They'll resume tomorrow morning on 319 for 4, with Larkin Tucker not out on 78. Ireland lost the first test by an innings and 280 runs. And that's your sport for the moment here in Highland. Donna Murray.
Thanks, Oisin. Looking back to news. The Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce today published results from their first business survey of the year, the Business Sentiment Survey. The findings show that uncertainty over rising costs is a concern for business owners. Fionnuala Rabbitt, president of the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce and CEO of Highland Radio, says energy costs have left many businesses with difficulty coping.
With the release of our first business sentiment survey of 2023, we did find that the majority of businesses throughout the region are having difficulty just coping with the impact of the rising energy costs, because it's not just hitting our businesses, it's also hitting our staff with their own personal lives and their homes, which means then it has a knock-on effect of impacting requests for wage increases, and you know, it just has a ripple effect throughout your business. So it is very significant, the difficulties and the challenges that it is causing.
Police in Strabane and Derry say 8 people have been arrested for alleged stalking in the first year since it became an offence in Northern Ireland. To mark National Stalking Awareness Week, which begins in the province today, the PSNI have revealed that since the new laws came into force last year, 88 people have been charged with stalking offences. 48 of them have been convicted. A bill to criminalise stalking in the Republic of Ireland is still before the Dáil. Statistics show victims will suffer up to 100 incidences before reporting it, and the PSNI are asking people not to ignore the red flags. HICWA inspectors have made a number of recommendations following inspections at centres for people with disabilities in Donegal. Unannounced inspections were carried out at Moville Residential Group Home, Abbey Village Group Homes and Chac Airnod. Michaela Clark has more.
HICWA reports that at Moville Residential Group Home, overall there was improved leadership and management arrangements. However, some areas required improvements in terms of staff training and support and deputising arrangements for the person in charge, consistent staffing and access to adequate financial resources. Inspectors find that work needed to be carried out to ensure a policy on safe Wi-Fi provision is provided, that all staff attend sexuality awareness training and that staff safeguarding awareness auditing is carried out. A number of training gaps were found at Abbey Village Group Homes, with 9 staff having never completed fire safety training, while 5 staff required safeguarding training. Training was also required for some other staff in behaviour management, manual handling, hand hygiene, infection prevention and control basics and standard precautions. A number of staff vacancies were also noted. The provider also failed to fully repair a fire door first noted in 2020. Chat Ian Rod, meanwhile, was found to be fully compliant.
And links to the full reports are available on our website, highlandradio.com. The president of the Garda Representative Association believes the isolation of Gardaí in Donegal warrants the arming of members with tasers. Due to an increase in tax against Gardaí, the GRA says greater protection is vital. Donegal-based Garda Brendan O'Connor says Gardaí in Donegal are particularly vulnerable.
We look at Donegal there and we see members working in locations on their own, and we rely on they're very vulnerable, they're isolated, there's very little backup. So tasers, if we look to Scotland, is where a comparable jurisdiction, and officers operating in the Highlands carry tasers. So we're looking for more tasers. Not every guard have a taser, but if a guard in a showing needs someone to come to their assistance out in Mallon, that someone in Buncrana would have it. Similarly, someone out in Lifford could call on someone in Letterkenny. So just more tasers. We believe it's an incremental response to the levels of violence our members are being subjected to in these assaults. So it's used in other jurisdictions without any major concerns, and we believe it's entirely appropriate that we would have that escalation available to non-lethal force. Normally, now we have a step from baton and handcuffs to firearm and nothing in between. So we need to have more availability, and it's in the interest of offenders too. People can be neutralised before they even harm themselves. Sometimes people who have suicidal ideations, the taser can disable them, and the guards can get close to someone with a knife when they wouldn't be able to intervene.
Inland Fisheries Ireland is reminding fishers of the importance of draft net fishing quotas. It's as a former Donegal salmon draft net licence holder has been found guilty of 2 breaches of fisheries legislation after being found in possession of 13 untagged salmon in the boot of his vehicle on July 10th, 2017. Dr. Milton Matthews, director of the Northwestern River Basin District, Inland Fisheries Ireland, says any salmon killed in excess of the quota identified for any particular salmon fishery directly impacts the long-term sustainability of that salmon fishery. He added that it is critical for all stakeholders to strictly abide by tagging and quota regulations to safeguard the future of these valuable fisheries. The government is being urged to immediately provide support for homeowners hit by crippling mortgage interest increases. A Sinn Féin motion is to be debated in the Dáil tomorrow, which calls for a time-limited mortgage interest relief of up to €1,500 to be introduced. Some mortgage holders have experienced numerous mortgage hikes. The party's finance spokesperson, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty, says many families are already struggling to make ends meet.
Absolutely crucial that some relief is provided for homeowners who are seeing their mortgage increases now. Indeed, some of them have seen their mortgage increase 6 times since last July. This is a result of the ECB increasing its rates from 0% up to 3.5%. Unfortunately for homeowners, the ECB are going to meet again next week, and it's speculated that mortgage interest rates are going to go up again. So what this means for ordinary families is that they're paying thousands of euro more on their repayments on their mortgage compared to last year. We've seen examples of 5,000 and 6,000 additional interest being paid. So what we're asking government to do is reintroduce mortgage interest relief up until the end of the year, where the government would take on up to 30% of the increased interest that are being charged since July of last year. And this is affordable, and it's also really important that this type of relief is provided now.
And that's true, because some people just simply can't afford these increases.
An increase on your mortgage for that family, it doesn't matter whether it's an increase in food or an increase in electricity or heat, it's an additional bill that's coming into your home. And if that bill is €5,000 more than it was this time last year, then families are struggling to find a way to pay that bill. And that's why some of this shock, we can't insulate everything. We can't pay all the €5,000. What we do need to do is provide some comfort and some relief. So the proposal that we would have would benefit households up to €1,500 per annum. And this is the type of support that we need as we deal with the shocks as a result of high inflation. Just as other measures have been introduced to insulate families from some of the pressures, mortgages and the cost of mortgages, there needs to be a measure there.
And now to weather. Sunny spells and passing showers this evening. Highest temperatures of 8 to 12 degrees and light to moderate northerly breezes. To conclude this evening's news, Donegal County Council has deferred a decision on the draft Letterkenny Plan and Local Transport Plan, as well as the new draft County Development Plan. A Midlands North West MEP is calling for a strategy to tackle youth gaming addiction. A man has been seriously injured during an attack in Glencolm Kill yesterday evening. And the General Manager of Letterkenny University Hospital has apologised to patients affected by a number of data breaches at the hospital. That's all for now. We'll be back again with news headlines at 6 o'clock. And until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 24th of April. The death has taken place of Olivia Boyda, née Coyle, 9 Summerhill, Prehen, Derry. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 9 a.m. Funeral leaving the family home in Prehen tomorrow morning at 20 past 9 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Columb's Church, Chapel Road, followed by interment in Ballyone Cemetery. Inquiries to Brendan Thomas at O'Brien's of Limavady Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of John Gallagher, Cora Dewey, Crossroads, Killigordon. Remains reposing at his late residence from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the St. Patrick's Church Crossroads Killigordon YouTube channel. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Alice Duffy, Lower Main Street, Kilmacrennan. Remains reposing at her home from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St. Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Robert Hegarty, Meenavoy, Ballybuffet, formerly of Drummoney, Letterkenny. Robert's remains are reposing at his late residence. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar, with interment afterwards in Ardmore Cemetery, Derry. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Rosary nightly at 9, with family time afterwards until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Jackie Bunner, formerly of Carnhill and Thorndale. Funeral leaving his brother Seamus's home at 39 Barron's Court, Coolmore Road at 10:20 tomorrow morning to St. Bridget's Church, Carnhill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. House private, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. The death has taken place of Joe Herity, Cosha, Ballyheeran, Fanad. Joe's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from there tomorrow to St. Mary's Church, Fanavolti, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary at 8, family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Peggy McGinley, née Gallagher, Kilrain, Clohan, reposing at her home today with rosary at 8 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, with burial afterwards in Kiltivogue Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. The death has occurred of Josephine Clark, Monine, Ballandrate, Lifford. Josephine will repose at her late residence until 10 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 11, going to St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in St. Columbus Church Cemetery, Drumahull. Requiem Mass can be viewed on the parish webcam. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 3, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has taken place of Mary McGee, Tommy, Mean Moore, Dunlow. Mary's remains are reposing at her home with rosary at 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Cronus Church, Dunlow, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. House private, please, before the funeral. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Dunlow Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of James McHugh, Cullion Road, Letterkenny, formerly of Killigordon. James's remains will repose at his late residence until 10 o'clock this evening, with rosary at 9. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel. Interment afterwards to St. Columbus Church Cemetery, Drumahull, with house private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family Flowers Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Hematology and Oncology, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.